Welcome to this edition of Total Health with Dr. Kate. This is the podcast that explores all aspects of your health, wellness, and human consciousness. I'm Dr. Arlen Cage, naturopathic physician and trained in multiple systems of natural healing. You can read about my full background on the biography link on my website, www.drcagesays.org, Dr. spelled D-R. Today, I'm going to be telling you about the one key organ in your body that has probably more effect on your overall health than anything else, except your heart and your brain, as well as I'm going to be talking about that one ultra key nutrient that possibly has more effect on this key organ and your overall health than anything else you can do. By the title of this podcast, you've probably very easily figured out that I'm talking about your thyroid. To find out what that one key nutrient is and to learn how to filter out all the major propaganda from the mainstream medical system that has been aimed both against this one nutrient and against your thyroid, stay tuned and keep listening. As a naturopathic physician, we actually have a philosophical code we follow when we work with patients. This philosophy is summarized under six major points that are listed on my home page. One of them is simply the doctor as a teacher. I have found this to be extremely valuable because the more I educate my patients, the more successful they are in their long-term healing. This is why I have started packaging many of my services in conjunction with educational courses. Right now, I'm engaging and offering a program called Get Healthy, Get Serious. What it entails is a series of four courses combined with four one-on-one patient appointments. These courses address some of the most important areas trying to stay healthy here in our supposedly modern times of the early 21st century, which, as you know, is getting harder all the time. There's a full description of this program on my website. Just click the Get Healthy, Get Serious link at the top of the page. You can start this program at any time. As I conduct each of the courses, they're recorded. They're on my website, so people who start later have access to all that same material. You can attend future courses either live via Zoom or in person in my Hamilton, Montana clinic. And that same process applies to the one-on-one patient appointments. We can do them in person at my clinic or on Zoom from wherever you happen to be located. If you have questions about this program, please email or call me. The contact information is also on the website and in the podcast description on my main Podbean page. All right. So let's move on and help you get to know your thyroid gland. I'll tell you right up front that this podcast is perhaps a bit more technical than my average podcast I've produced so far. I'm happy for you to give me some feedback and let me know if this is too technical or if you would like to see more podcasts with this level of detail. Your thyroid is a gland, not an organ. It sits in front of your throat, just below your larynx or voice box. The thyroid is considered part of our body's endocrine system, which is one of our three methods of internal communications. The other two internal communication methods in our body are the nervous system and the subtle energy system. What the thyroid does is to regulate your overall metabolism. This is how fast every organ and cell in our body does its own job. The thyroid accomplishes this by generating a family of signaling molecules we call hormones. These then enter the bloodstream and are received by other organs. There are a number of slightly different forms of thyroid hormones, and we'll talk about some of them individually in a bit. So in our metabolism, the metabolic rate is something our species uses for survival. When times are tough, such as during famines, we automatically lower our rate of metabolism to conserve energy. When the famine ends, our metabolic rate is increased as we are able to find more food, have more energy available, and our metabolism burns that energy so we can function better. That is the big picture of your thyroid gland. Now, to make all that happen, the thyroid obviously can't operate alone. Of necessity, it interacts with the brain, which processes sensory information from the world around us, as well as the thyroid interacts with the other endocrine organs. Your adrenal glands and the reproductive system are two of the major ones. I found it helpful to think of all this as your thyroid system. This is a concept that really isn't being taught in any medical school, unfortunately not even in naturopathic medical schools. This concept and term I've put together over the years as I have specialized in endocrinology and treated more people for thyroid disorders than any other single condition. When we talk about how your thyroid system functions, we usually start with your hypothalamus. This is a region in your brain that compiles all our sensory data from the environment by way of nervous system inputs from all our sense organs. The hypothalamus then generates a hormone called thyroid regulating hormone, or TRH, which travels through the bloodstream about a grand total of 1 centimeter or less to the pituitary gland. Both the hypothalamus and your pituitary are located roughly in the middle of your brain at the bottom portion. TRH, thyroid regulating hormone, causes the pituitary to release what many consider to be the real master control hormone for the thyroid, called thyroid stimulating hormone, or TSH. You will see TSH on routine blood tests. TSH enters the bloodstream and makes its way eventually to the thyroid gland in your throat. I say eventually, but it's actually fairly fast, about a minute or two. The entire volume of blood you have circulates through your heart in about a minute, so it doesn't take long for that TSH to go up to the thyroid gland, where it causes the thyroid to release some of the various forms of thyroid hormone into the bloodstream. For simplicity, I'm going to lump the thyroid hormones together a bit into two major types called T3 and T4. Each of these has 2 to 3 subtypes, which we won't go into right now. It is important to know this. T4 is an inactive form of thyroid hormone, whereas T3 is the active form. For the average person, the thyroid gland makes about 80 to 85% T4 and 15 to 20% T3. The reason for this disparity between active and inactive forms is so there is always some T4 in the bloodstream, which our body uses as a source of ready reserve. It gives each organ the ability to raise or lower its own metabolism without affecting other parts of the body. For example, if you were chasing down a wild animal to try and catch it for dinner, your muscles, heart, and lungs need to raise their metabolic rate. Your digestive system, meanwhile, can lower its metabolic rate because you won't be digesting any food while you're still engaged in the hunt. If your hunt is successful, you do catch something to eat, your muscles need to relax and recover so their metabolic rate can slow down. But your digestive system, however, needs to get busy, so it will need to increase its metabolism and the ability of each of these organs to independently convert T4 to T3 is what permits all this to happen. Now, one of the most common complaints I hear from patients and prospective patients is, they checked my thyroid and said it is fine, but I still feel terrible. What can I possibly do? Now, that may actually be your experience or that of someone you know. So to understand this, I'm going to first explore some of the major forms of thyroid disorders and the symptoms that go along with them. Then I will explain the answer to why your blood tests can look normal, but you still feel lousy. The most common thyroid disorder is hypothyroidism. Hypo means low, so this is a low-acting or underactive thyroid. Either your thyroid isn't producing enough thyroid hormone, or the thyroid hormones being produced are not being absorbed into the other organs, glands, and cells that need them. When that happens, you can experience some of the following symptoms, maybe even all of them. Hypothyroidism pretty much affects every batch of organs and tissues in the body. In the realm of skin, hair, and nails, we get dry skin, thin, brittle nails, dry hair, hair loss. Interestingly, hair loss at the outer edge of the eyebrows, ascending hair loss on your feet and legs, and an absence of sweating. In the GI tract, the biggest thing we see is constipation. The reproductive system can experience infertility, low sperm count, a lot of other metabolic things such as low body temperatures, weight gain, lack of energy, many, many other things are associated with hypothyroidism. I want to make it clear that while these things can be caused by hypothyroidism, other conditions in the body can produce some of these same symptoms. That's why proper testing of your thyroid hormones is so crucial, and I will discuss that later. The next major condition I want to mention is hyperthyroidism. Hyper means above, so this is a thyroid gland that is overactive. The various types of hyperthyroidism are all the result of an autoimmune condition where our immune system begins to attack our own body. This results in a couple of things. Your thyroid starts to overproduce thyroid hormones as sort of a defense mechanism, and eventually enough tissue is damaged in the thyroid gland that some of the hormones it has stored there are just leaking into the bloodstream. To consider the possibility of needing to be tested for hyperthyroidism, think of things like this: unexplained weight loss, cardiac problems, so a fast heart rate, irregular heartbeats, palpitations, an increase in appetite, nervousness, tremors, weight loss, no matter how much you eat. Increased levels of sweating, a very big sensitivity to heat, an increased frequency of bowel movement. So a lot of this is the opposite of hypothyroidism. In many ways, you can think of hyperthyroid symptoms as, what if you drank 10 cups of very strong coffee, like espresso, in about 15 minutes, and then imagine how nervous and jittery and wound up you're going to be for the next several hours. Now imagine those symptoms continuing 24/7 and they don't seem to wear off. That's hyperthyroidism, as has been relayed to me by many of the patients I've worked with who have hyperthyroidism. Now, the last thyroid disorder I'm going to mention here is called goiter. Goiter is an enlarged or swollen thyroid gland, and they can actually get quite large. The cause of goiter is iodine deficiency in about 98% of the cases. I'll be talking about goiter and iodine in just a few minutes. And for right now, I just want to say thyroid hormone levels in the blood vary naturally, up and down within a range through the process called feedback. So as I mentioned earlier, the thyroid gland generates TSH. I'm sorry, the pituitary generates TSH. It tells the thyroid to generate that T3 and T4 hormone mix. That causes the pituitary to make less TSH. And so there's this gradual up and down kind of a dance played between T3 and T4 on one side and TSH on the other. All five tests for TSH, free T3, total T3, free T4, and total T4 need to be done from the same blood sample. Otherwise, the levels that you get are meaningless. If, you know, one day the TSH level was at a high end of the scale, and the next day or next week when you go back for T4, it's at the low end of the scale. We don't know if any of that is clinically significant or relevant to what's going on with you. So all five, that's a full thyroid panel, needs to be done in one blood test. Okay, we have that basic understanding of thyroid issues and thyroid hormones. Now I'm going to get into that question to explain why your tests can look normal and yet you still have all the symptoms. The key to understanding this lies in something I mentioned earlier regarding hypothyroidism, which can be caused either by the thyroid not producing enough hormones, or due to not enough of the nutrients it needs as raw materials, such as B vitamins and magnesium and selenium and iodine. Hypothyroidism can also appear to happen because the thyroid hormones aren't being absorbed by the tissues, organs, and cells that need it. This is a phenomenon known as thyroid hormone resistance. This phenomenon is not well known, even by endocrinologists in the conventional medical world, who probably should know about it. It is buried in the older thyroid literature. When thyroid hormone resistance is present, it means the thyroid gland is making enough hormone to keep the bloodstream saturated. An underlying assumption on the part of the hypothalamus, pituitary, and thyroid gland is that once those thyroid hormones are produced, any cell that needs thyroid hormone will absorb it and cause the levels of thyroid hormones in the blood to drop. That, in turn, will cause the hypothalamus to make more TRH, the pituitary to make more TSH, and the thyroid gland, in turn, will make more of the T3 and T4 hormones so that the body's cells and organs will have access to what they need. If, however, this is a big if, the cells and organs aren't able to fully absorb the thyroid hormones, then inside the cells, the body is very hypothyroid, and that produces the low metabolism and all those signs and symptoms of hypothyroidism we went through a little bit ago. It also means that if you test just the blood, you're going to see normal blood levels when the cells themselves are deficient in thyroid hormone. To find out that this is really what's going on, what's needed is a way to look inside every cell in every organ in your body to find out if each cell has enough thyroid hormone. Obviously, this is impractical, if not completely impossible. It would mean doing needle biopsies, taking out a sample of tissue from every organ and tissue in your body. So that's why doctors instead have relied on simple blood testing for thyroid hormones, which, as we've seen, may miss the very real and important problem of thyroid hormone resistance. So what if there were other ways to check for thyroid hormone resistance? It turns out that the number one cause of thyroid hormone resistance, meanwhile, is a deficiency in the nutrient iodine. Iodine levels in the blood can be tested for, but it is actually a pretty useless measurement. When we consume iodine in our foods or as a supplement, it will generally be either very quickly absorbed by the organs that need some or very quickly eliminated in our urine. Hence, blood tests for iodine just don't tell us anything of clinical relevance. The way we can test if there is enough iodine in our bodies is a two-part urine test to measure what's called iodine saturation. The test begins with a 24-hour collection of all the urine each person produces. We measure the iodine level in that first sample as a baseline. Then, a measured dose of iodine is consumed, immediately followed by a second 24-hour urine collection. This is called the loading test and the loading dose, or sometimes the provoking dose of iodine. The key measurement is comparison it's the comparison between the iodine levels in the baseline test and the iodine levels in the loading test. If a person's body is fully saturated with iodine, most of that provoking dose should be eliminated in the urine because the tissues don't need it. They don't absorb the iodine and life is good. It just leaves in the urine over the next 24 hours. The more of that loading dose that is absorbed, however, the more deficient in iodine that person is. Now, this test is considered the gold standard of iodine testing. It is the only accurate, reliable way to measure iodine levels. Another cause of thyroid hormone resistance is the presence in your body of a category of toxins called bromides. Bromides happen to be in the same chemical family as iodine, so they will tend to be electromagnetically attracted to the same receptors that iodine uses. Now, when that happens, they kind of gum up those receptors, and iodine can't get through the receptors into their target cells, no matter how much there is in the bloodstream. One of the functions of iodine in the body, which we will go into more in a bit, is that it is used as a cofactor for hormone absorption. That means for any hormone to get into its target organ, that organ already needs to have iodine. A deficiency of iodine can lead to that phenomenon of thyroid hormone resistance, as well as poor absorption of many other hormones, reproductive hormones, blood sugar control hormones, and so forth, all of which is another story for another day. So checking iodine levels is one way to indirectly check for whether or not adequate levels of thyroid hormones are making it into the organs that need it. Another method, very basic and was really quite genius, really, I applaud the doctors who developed this knowledge over the last 30 years or so. Doctors like Dr. Wilson, Dr. Fletches, Dr. Abraham, and Dr. Brownstein, all of whom I had the good fortune to meet. By the way, some of them are no longer alive. I was fortunate to meet them and study with them a short time while they were alive. This other method involves a simple measurement of your body temperature. Yep, body temperature. When we measure our body's temperature, we put that thermometer under our tongue, we're measuring the waste heat given off by the sum total of all the biochemical reactions taking place in all the cells of our body. In a very complex and elegant way, all our body's cells and all the molecules in those cells that do the physical work, called enzymes, rely on a body temperature of 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit in order to optimally function. If your body temperature is low, let's say a full degree low at 97.6, for example, it means that your cells and organs don't work as efficiently, and this in turn is part of the beginning of hypothyroidism. So it turns out that measuring body temperature is the closest we can get for determining the levels of thyroid hormones making inside the cells, that those cells that really need thyroid hormone, and that is going to be a measure of your metabolic rate. Now, I'll actually do a podcast to follow up on this one to look at the many important ways that iodine can affect our health. Now, if you can't wait for that podcast and want to know right now, my core lectures have a lot of this information about iodine. It's contained in the lecture entitled Nutrition to Micronutrients. You can go to my website, www.drcadesays.org. Visit the Patreon tab on my website to learn about your options for Patreon membership and accessing the core lectures. So back in the day, the conventional medical system used potassium iodide as the primary form of treatment for all thyroid hormones, whether it was hyperthyroid or hypothyroid, and it worked beautifully. Then, right about the time that artificial thyroid hormones were developed and patented by pharmaceutical companies, a really bad study was published called the Wolff-Chaikoff effect, which in essence said that too much iodine was dangerous and would damage your thyroid gland. And people believed the study. It was never replicated. But almost overnight, the medical standard of care became these artificial thyroid hormone medications, and iodine has been shunned ever since. I don't know how they managed to get that through, because at that point, there was 100 years of literature saying how well iodine worked to treat the thyroid, but it did. And here in modern times, I'm watching similar things happen in just about every other condition, such as heart disease, diabetes, infectious illnesses, where stop using what's worked for hundreds of years and start using an untried, unproven pharmaceutical. Oh, wait, 10 years later, we find out that pharmaceutical is causing cancer. Oh, well, we'll give you a new pharmaceutical. Nowhere in there is the trend to go back and use the original natural substances that actually worked. Pharmaceutical companies just don't seem able to admit they were wrong. Okay, let's talk about iodine dosing. The RDA value is 150 micrograms, which is a ridiculously low amount. It doesn't actually prevent death. You'll learn more in the iodine podcast when it comes out, and some of this information is available right now in the core lectures, but iodine deficiency is a contributing cause of thyroid cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, and on the male side, testicular cancer and prostate cancer. So anyone who dies from these conditions is dying, at least in part, if not a large part, from an iodine deficiency. The optimal dose, the best dose for health maintenance, is actually between 10 and 15 milligrams, or about 100 times higher than that RDA value. Now, if your medical doctor tries to tell you that this much iodine is dangerous and might kill you, calmly point out in Japan, the average consumption of iodine each day in their diets is 13.8 milligrams, which mostly they get from a diet in the foods that are rich in seafood and seaweed. So if 13.8 milligrams or even 10 milligrams was a lethal dose, then the entire country of Japan should be dead. Instead, on average, the country of Japan is thriving. Right now, Japan is a country with what is officially the longest average lifespan of any country in the world right now, 84.9 years. Okay, let's kind of summarize things here a little bit. I think I'm going to stop. There's always a lot more I can say about thyroids and iodine. There are other less common ailments we could discuss, for example. I'll save those for a future podcast. The core lectures are available by registering for any one of the Patreon membership levels. So if you or someone you know is dealing with undiagnosed, misdiagnosed, and or mistreated thyroid conditions and thyroid symptoms, please contact me for a consultation, either in person in my Hamilton, Montana clinic or via a telemedicine consultation, which I conduct over Zoom. I love video conferencing technology where I can meet with people all over the world. And please don't forget to send me any feedback on whether you thought this podcast was too technical or if you would like to see more future podcasts on various conditions with the same level of technical information. In conclusion, I would like to make one final note that I do accept sponsorships on this podcast if you are promoting products or services that are in support of holistic natural lifestyles, organic foods, environmentally safe technologies, or other similar subjects. If you like what you hear on these podcasts, and you would like to be a podcast sponsor here on Total Health with Dr. Cage, please contact me via email at drcagesays@gmail.com. You can also use that same email address to inquire about all my services and products. Until next time, this is Dr. Cage.